repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. Okay, God has told us about this. We understand it. It's been proven to us. What do we do for not being the father?
There's another level about to happen, and it's going to be, as you're seeing things happen, that says we've never seen that before.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, mm-hmm. and areas never flooded before.
Of course, the biggest tornadoes we've seen before. How could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
People understand the techniques of Saul Alinsky and how you have to organize things, and you got to keep a continual pressure to be able to change behaviors. We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
When you see Iran building ICBMs, just remember, America, that's God's for you.
But I can guarantee you this. The days when the Jewish people remain passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. This is why, as Prime Minister of Israel, I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. But I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. I know that you stand with Israel.
In 2010, the U.S. patrol border reported that nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is, if we don't repent, this storm is coming, and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized. We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics, tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years in practice in his life, but he taught them for 4 years. His mentor was Saul Alinsky, wrote a book, Rules for Radicals, which was dedicated to Lucifer.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle and staying constitutionally right under the laws, but also, you know, doing his best to walk righteously before the Lord and boldly before his enemy, moving in love.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement. Yes, sir. Would you forgive us?
On behalf of those families that have been unjust, I stand before you now and we receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
If you don't know what God's saying, if you don't know what the Lord's saying, you got to find out. Why aren't you hearing what God's saying? That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over. But if we humble ourselves, God will just hear from heaven, heal our land. He'll stop this storm that's been fashioned against us.
You're about to see something come to pass in the very near future that your mind cannot even wrap around. It's going to be so magnanimous, so awful, so awesome. And the nations and the kings and the politicians of the earth, their mouth will be open. It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace. And the mega grace will produce mega power and mega conversions and mega outpourings and mega breakthroughs and mega gifts of the Spirit. And I don't know how to measure that. I just know God says it's coming.
And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival. And this wind is going to blow not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
There's seven spheres of we call them mountains, really, that if you impact these mountains, the culture, you'll transform that culture. Religion, we would say the church, second family, education, business, arts and entertainment, media, and government. I believe the best days you know, for the churches ahead, but it's not going to look like anything like it looks like now. It's going to be exciting, exhilarating. It's going to be willing to go through things and rejoice in the fact that they went through it.
Understand that we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me just a moment is John Ramos. Today, we're going to finish our last part of the series about all the blessings that's taking place in Israel. We've been having over 5 different encounters that we've had about Israel and how God is blessing Israel. You know, he said, I will bless Israel. I will bless you to be a blessing to nations. And we're seeing that. Today we're going to be talking about how even in the environment, God is blessing the world, a blessing nations by blessing Israel. But first we want to remember what those that are trying to harm Israel and have been trying to harm Israel over the time. I want us to go back and remember what Hamas was doing out of Gaza not too long ago when Israel had to be able to have the protective shield. So when you look back, what we've been showing you about the blessings of Israel with technology, water, agriculture, health, all these different things, realize that's what Hamas is bombing. All these wonderful gifts that God has given us, blessing us through the nation of Israel. But first, let's look. Remember Operation Protective Shield. Thousands of missiles were being fired into Israel just a few days ago. Take a look.
Pat, Prime Minister Netanyahu is promising Israel won't stop military operations against Hamas until it's accomplished all its goals. That statement came after one of Hamas's deadly attacks killed a 4-year-old Israeli boy. Chris Mitchell brings us the story from just outside Jerusalem.
Israel bombed a Hamas command and control center in Gaza over the weekend. It's part of the latest round of fighting after Hamas broke a ceasefire for the 11th time in the month-and-a-half-old conflict. This Iron Dome anti-missile battery shot down a rocket headed towards Jerusalem over the weekend. Hamas has launched more than 700 rockets and mortars at Israel since breaking the ceasefire. On Friday, 4-year-old Daniel Traegerman died in a mortar attack on Kibbutz Nahal Oz near the Gaza border. In another attack, a rocket struck a synagogue in Ashdod. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Hamas would continue to pay a heavy price for what he called the crimes that it's perpetrating. Hamas publicly executed 18 Palestinians it accused of collaborating with Israel. Human rights groups across the political spectrum condemn the executions. Meanwhile, Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas said he plans to unveil what he called an unconventional solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Abbas linked his future with Hamas, despite Israel's revelation last week that the terror group planned to overthrow him.
This delegation includes all Palestinian factions, including Hamas, in order to return to the negotiation table to achieve a long-term ceasefire and to discuss other issues on the negotiation table afterwards.
But negotiations with Hamas remains a non-starter for Israel, since the group's main goals are killing Jews and destroying the Jewish state. Chris Mitchell, CBN News.
Think about it. The very enemies of Israel, their long-range goal is to be able to destroy, to kill, to annihilate the Jews, Israel. And they said they're trying to bring people back to the talks. But what's happening today? Today, America's sitting down. America, later, John Kerry, the Secretary of State, our president, and his cabinet are sitting down with the enemies of Israel. And we've been talking about how God is so blessed to Israel. And think about their country. It's like approximately 70 miles wide at its widest point. Maybe you can see it right now. Look how small it is compared to every other nation around it. Why do they want this particular land? Because it is God's land. It's what God has given to the Jewish people. And nobody's going to take it. But understand that when we don't side with Israel, we don't side with God in regards to that. Israel's not perfect in everything they do. But that's for God to judge, not for us to judge. We stand with Israel. When we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about, you know, one last part of taking a look at the very nation that Hamas was sending thousands of missiles into and trying to harm and hurt. Remember, we talked about in our earlier programs about agriculture, how they're blessing all the other nations with the seeds and concepts of being able to not use pesticides. And people, so many of us are eating, including, you know, 25% reportedly of America's 25% of America's produce comes from California. Well, guess where a large percentage of that is being protected by a creativeness that's come out of Israel. I mean, think about it. On our tables every day, I mean, God, Israel's touching us in so many different ways. Why? Because God said, I'll be a blessing to you, and you'll be a blessing to the nations. And it's happening today. Technology and health and water. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the environment. Even in the environment, clean and green, how they are impacting things. And I want you to do this, if you would. You know, put this all-out assault on this blessed land, and these missiles coming in, and what are they bombing? They're bombing human beings, Jews, Jewish men and women, fathers and daughters, you know, that are just living their lives and blessing so many people in the nation. Even when you see how blessed they are in the environment, realize, imagine now a missile coming over from Hamas, which is the militant arm reportedly of the Muslim Brotherhood, who our country, at the Cairo speech in 2008, reportedly allowed to empower the members of the Muslim Brotherhood that put President Morsi over Egypt, which they expelled from their leadership, and which is part of this whole organizing thing today. Just crazy things are taking place, but we need to stand with Israel. You're going to be blessed when you see what we show you about from the break about the environment and how Israel is blessing us. Join us.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Is it okay for employees to keep religious items on their desk? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, my workplace was asked me last night to take down a Christian calendar of mine, and they gave the answer that it's Home Depot property, I guess the wall, and wanted me to take it down. I just wondered if this is right.
Well, Angie, it depends on the policies of the employer. For instance, some employers say you have to have, they'll allow certain types of things displayed in the workstations, and they're very limited and very suspect as to what those will be. Others are much broader. And some, in a situation when it's usually a religious sentiment, and it may even be, you know, a situation where they think that if you have up a calendar that has a Bible verses on it, they might think that they're somehow violating federal law. You have the right to have that material out there.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. To become more involved in protecting these freedoms, visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN-TV. We're so excited to be talking to you after this. Make sure you join us towards the end of the program, because we'll be talking about, you know, Art Thomas, and he's going to be joining us tomorrow.
Wow.
And we got some things we want to be able to show you about Paid in Full and thousands of people. God's healing thousands of people.
It's wonderful.
And almost 100% report is being healed at these meetings that are coming together. And he's going to be with us tomorrow. We're going to talk about that after this particular segment about Israel. This is the last of five. Is we're going to look at, imagine now, when you saw the bombs being thrown, we want to be able to organize against Israel. Mm. We want to be able to have this this negotiation, all these different things going on. It's like, now look, we're looking inside the Israel that they're bombing. It's like, they're carrying you food, Gaza. They're providing you schools, Gaza. They're actually helping you out with hospitals, Gaza, and even clean and green. So when you see these news reports, I want you to think about what you're about to see right now. Take a look. This is Inside of Israel.
To many people, Israel is a place of Bible stories and ancient ruins.
In hundreds of archaeological digs like this one, Israelis are carefully preserving their past, but they're also keeping an eye on the future, and not just their future, the future of the world.
One of the Jewish commandments is tikkun olam, which means, translation to English, is to repair the world under God, to make the world a better place.
I see a direct correlation between our belief in tikkun olam and this incredible explosion of activity and innovation in Startup Nation.
Today, the world is focused on saving the environment, but Israelis were green long before it was popular, about a century before.
It's part of the Zionism dream to create a green land, a green country, and actually, with time, with experience and research, we have studied how to do it.
The prophet Isaiah wrote about a time when the desert would rejoice and blossom as a rose. To Israelis, that's more than an ancient prophecy. It's a commandment.
Israel is a tiny state. Look at a map of our region. We use always to joke, you know, there's not even enough place on the map to write the name of Israel. So we had to conserve it, to keep it, to maintain it. This is what we have.
To the early settlers in Israel, going green meant planting trees. And they started in the Negev Desert, a place that gets only 1 to 7 inches of rain a year. In the 1940s, Jerusalem was still under Arab control. And Israel's first prime minister, David Ben-Gurion, believed that the Negev was the future of Israel. So he ordered the creation of a man-made forest there. But his team of scientists said it couldn't be done. Ben-Gurion's response? No problem. We'll get new scientists. The prime minister got his new scientists, and the Negev Desert began to blossom. Today, the Yetir Forest has more than 4 million trees, including carob, pine, olive, and fig.
Israel is amongst the fewest countries in the world that at the end of the 20th century, there are much more trees than were at the beginning of this century. Till now, we have planted over 240 million trees, which is a nice number to this small country.
In the center of the forest is a vineyard, planted on the ruins of another one that existed here 2,000 years ago. Scientists researched the best plants to grow in the Negev, and one of their sources was the Bible.
There are plenty of archaeological ruins everywhere. Water cisterns, dams, terraces, everywhere. And we have started with reconstruction of some of these ancient farms. We have planted biblical trees, and the trees are surviving without additional irrigation by collecting runoff water, the same cisterns that our forefathers did 2,000 years ago.
The trees not only produce fruit, they also clean the environment by absorbing carbon dioxide. Studies show that planting similar forests on just 12% of the world's arid land would reduce carbon in the atmosphere by a gigaton a year. That's equal to the carbon output of 1,000 coal plants. Today, scientists from around the world come to Israel to study the Yetir Forest.
We like to serve. We are proud to serve all our achievements to other countries. And of course, we want to share our knowledge and study from other countries' experience.
Israelis are not only working to protect the environment, they're also looking for new ways to keep the country running without oil.
Israel itself, it's a beautiful country, a country definitely worth visiting with tremendous, lush, interesting areas, but we don't have the traditional gold mines and massive oil and diamonds. We basically have a country of human resources rather than natural resources. So we very much value what little we have.
Israel may be short on oil, but it does have one natural resource that's virtually unlimited.
Israel's greatest natural resource, sun.
We do have a lot of sun here. It's a hot place, so we produce solar energy.
For much of the year, the sun beats down on a land that's mostly desert. But what some might see as a liability, Israel has turned into an advantage. Israelis have been using rooftop solar panels since the 1950s, when they were still unheard of in the rest of the world.
90% of Israeli homes have a solar water heater. There's nowhere else in the world that has that kind of thing.
In 2011, Israel's first commercial solar field was completed in the southern Arava Valley. The company, Arava Power, now has 9 other fields under construction. and plans for 40 more energy projects in Israel over the next 3 years. Their goal is to supply 1/10 of Israel's power. The company's founders are now building solar fields in several third world countries, like Haiti, Ecuador, and Rwanda. The solar field in Rwanda should be up and running by the end of 2013 and will provide 8% of Rwanda's energy.
Israel has been a leader in clean technology from the beginning. Part of it also is that our neighbors have had a lot of oil and have sort of corrupted the world economic system and the world political system and used it unfairly to impose, I think, sometimes harmful ideologies. And therefore, if Israel can fight the world dependence on oil, what would be a better thing than that?
In 2005, an Israeli software developer named Shai Agassi heard a similar question at a conference.
We were asked, how are you going to make the world a better place?
Agassi's answer, take a single country off oil, then the rest of the world will follow. The first step was to assemble a fleet of cars that could run without oil. So Agassi started a company called Better Place, which offered an electric battery-powered car. The car battery recharges overnight in special power outlets installed in the owner's home. And for longer trips, drivers can switch out the car's battery at stations all over Israel. The entire process takes less than 5 minutes.
I hear these go fast.
They're quite fast, so you have no gearbox.
Why is it so fast?
What you'll feel on the acceleration is full maximum torque. There's no gears, there's just literally drive, neutral, and reverse.
0 to 60 in how many seconds?
About 6.9, I believe.
Really? Maybe I can wipe out my cameraman as I go by. As a consumer, one of the things that is really appealing to me is the absolute quiet.
The goal with this car was to make a car and a network that can support it, that appeals to everyone. You don't have to be a greenie to say, I want this car. You can say, I like it because it's fast and has great power and acceleration. And I can fit my entire family in it.
That was fun.
Unfortunately, public demand for electric cars hasn't caught up with the vision of Better Place. And the company filed for bankruptcy in May of 2013. But some experts say timing is everything, and the battery-powered car will ride again. In the meantime, Israelis have another option that's just as green and thousands of dollars cheaper. In 2008, an avid biker named Azar Gafni had an idea.
Suddenly, it just struck my mind. Why not to make a bicycle out of cardboard? Soon after, I talked to three engineers, which I really highly appreciate, and they said, it's impossible. There's no way it can be done. While I was eating with my wife one day, she noticed that I'm a little bit disturbed. I told her all the thing about the engineers I went to and all the things that they said about it's impossible. And then she looked at me. And then she said, I know you. If you're not gonna try it, then you're gonna drive yourself crazy. Then you're gonna drive me crazy. Then you're gonna drive the entire family crazy. So just go ahead and try it.
4 years and six prototypes later, the cardboard bicycle was ready to ride. The finished bike weighs in at just 20 pounds, and yet it can hold a 500-pound rider. And unlike regular cardboard, it's completely waterproof. Mass production on the bike will start in late 2013. It'll cost about $9 to make and sell for around $60.
Where do you get this from? What right do you have to dream that way? We're people of dreams. It's all through the Bible. That's always been our methodology, if you will, in the Jewish people. God gives us dreams. It's for man to interpret them and man to experience them. And that's really the roots, I think, of much of our innovation. The fact that we're so flourishing here is a sign that this was God's will, that this is what was supposed to happen. This is the plan. We're good people. We're family-oriented people. We have an incredible army and society. I think that we have just begun to figure out that we have to tell our story about who we are rather than engage in constant bickering over the Middle East conflict. We have to go convey what the beauty of Israel is.
Imagine, why in the world would you be okay with bombing Israel? Why would you be angry with a country like this? Mm. Why, think about that. Yeah. Why is our president so angry with Israel? Israel, why is he angry with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu? Look at this interview. Just watch this interview from Israeli Channel 2, I believe, mm-hmm. in the White House as the Jews are interviewing the president, you know, about his anger towards him. Take a look at this.
You know, you said the other day to Jeffrey Goldberg in an interview that you plan to be around 20 years from now. Yeah. Therefore, you'll feel responsible if Iran gets nuclear yes. by then. And I just realized perhaps you plan to be many years more around, if only to postpone the moment that Bibi comes speak at the funeral.
That was one of my better jokes.
You enjoyed the punch, did you?
That was a good joke.
You know, can we skip the part in which you tell me there's nothing personal between you two?
Yeah, you know, I will tell you this. I, when I'm with Bibi, we have good conversations. They're tough, they're forceful. We disagree, but I enjoy jousting with him.
Did you enjoy the meeting? You remember the meeting 4 years ago here at the White House when he took the time to speak about some chapters in Jewish yeah. history? I could see your jaws locked.
Oh no, I think I was probably just hungry and waiting for lunch. There's no doubt that Prime Minister Netanyahu and I come from different political traditions and have different orientations.
I don't understand why our president is so angry with such a blessed nation that's blessing us, blessing the nations of the world, that the creator of the universe said, I'm going to bless you and you're going to be a blessing to the nations. And it's happening. God is fulfilling what he's doing. Why aren't we standing with the only other democracy in the Middle East who is our friend? We signed the paperwork supporting them to become President Harry Truman to become a nation. They financed the American Revolution. Well, a Jewish man.
Chaim Salomon.
Financed the American Revolution was a particular battle that was taking place.
It was Battle of Yorktown.
With General George Washington. They're our friends. The Jews are our friends. The friends of America.
Yeah.
I don't understand, but I know no matter what 530 people in Washington, D.C. feel like it, realize we're 320-something million folks, and we personally can stand with Israel mm-hmm. like Congress did, and that is our representative, and when we can let them know by supporting them. And so when we see a twisted viewpoint of media and news speaking against Israel, you can go back and say, wait a minute, I'm eating produce that they helped come to pass. Nations are being fed because of them. That congressman that was shot,
Gifford,
Gabrielle Gifford, that she was able to live now because of some of the technologies that they've done. The water is being drunk now that was coming from the oceans. I mean, just on and on and on and on and on and on. And so when people say, I'm not going to do business with them anymore, they call it divesting, you know, from Israel. Realize that's a foolish thing to do.
The best way to overcome a lie is with the truth.
Yes,
and you've giving you the truth,
and you've seen the truth over the last five programs. We wanted to be able to bring you the news where they're talking bad about Israel, they're trying to hurt Israel, and then we took the cameras right in and showed you that is nothing but untruth. What they're saying, that's a blessed land, and they're blessing folks. And VFN TV, our VFN sponsors, and all of our partners. Guess what? We stand for God and country, and look at there, we stand for Israel. When we get back from the break,
this is VFN TV. Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The bread. You know, if you haven't yet got a chance to go, which is really good when you're a bit woozy. ISIS, too, by the way. I know we're going to talk about the torch, but when I didn't start getting seasick until I started seeing other people get seasick.
Yeah. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst.
And when I have more kids now,
I didn't think I needed the Dramamine, but if you got an extra one, I'll take about 7.
Well, I know when my kids, you know, they got sick, that didn't bother me at all. But it did bother Donna. My heart would go out. It's like, oh my goodness. But when I was in the Navy and grown men are getting seasick, it was just everywhere. And I thought, I am going to die in this ashtray. It was like, it was just all of that was happening. They smoked, saw their ashtrays turned upside down. Everything was everywhere. And so I finally made it to the pilot house and got me a big cup of ice and opened up both pilot house doors. And wind was blowing through and I was laid up against the wall. chewing ice, hoping that I would not get an agreement with what was taking place on that boat. Getting back to the torch, make sure that you get a chance to eat from the bread that we make available for you. Go to VFNTV.com, go to the torch. You can subscribe to it easily, and every day it will be in your email. You can sign up for the newsletter. It'll come to you once a week. Go to the torch, go to VFNTV.com and sign up for the torch newsletter. By the way, there's a free gift waiting for you. Just to honor you for the whole experience, to thank you for the process. And in this relationship, even if we get a bit woozy, we can do this thing if we walk in agreement under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide. You abide. Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does, too.
And I think Chris does, too. He's shaking over there.
We got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides, too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to vfntv.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to them, giving them dreams. And it's like, wow. Mm-hmm. Very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, He will definitely, definitely speak.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
That is so amazing when you're looking at Israel. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place to be. It's even though it's 70-something miles wide, it is a long country. You know, I guess about 4 or 5 hours you can drive from the maybe 6, maybe 8 from the north to the south. And but it's just such a wide range of beauty and bodies of water, mountains, surrounded by mountains and
gorgeous. Actually, very safe too.
Yes, yes, it's safe. The things that we're learning about it has the longest life expectancy of any other nation. Silicon Valley has nothing on what it looks like that they're doing, the startup nation, and what they've done in just like 60 years. Think
amazing.
About it.
Yeah.
In 1948, you think about that. You know, we've been around, you know, for
a couple hundred years, at least
a couple hundred years. And 230, 235, something like that. And they've done this in 60. I mean, when God gets behind you and we get behind God, put it that way, then God just does it. When you walk into what God's word, what he says. You just start seeing things move rapidly. You know, we've experienced a few little things like that and seen some others. But look what Israel's doing. I mean, it's amazing.
With a population of 6 million people, not even a tenth of a percent of the population of America. It's huge.
And the chutzpah, they talk about that, you know, people tell you no, but we just makes us want to do it that much more. How many people, John, you know, when God says there's going to be a great third great awakening and that the revival's coming, is a great harvest, people just go tell one person and they get a bad report.
Yeah.
And they believe that report and they just go, oh, I guess we can't build cardboard bicycles.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's easier for people to explain a loss than to, you know, find a way to win.
Hasn't there been a message, though, taught that you don't have to do anything? You just kind of like pennies from heaven, everything comes from heaven. And, and you just go, I just believe, and it happens. But faith without works, it's dead, right?
Faith and works.
And so you're looking at Israel, like they moved into the prophecy. They moved in where God said move in, but they're working their tails off nonstop. And they are a working culture. They work nonstop. They love work.
Well, you saw in this last piece, you know, Ben-Gurion told the scientists, we need to put a forest here. And they told him, it can't be done. So he found some other scientists and they got a farce. You know?
You have to find people who agree with what God is saying and doing and no limits. There's no limits on God. God can do anything. The question is, do we believe in what he can do? And it makes me think about, you know, this third great awakening and this glory outpouring of God's awesomeness that he's going to do, and he's already preparing to do it even now, and how God confirmed that word when, you know, Isaiah Kaderi was on our program. And yes, I want you to hear what he had to say. Now, he's in Nigeria hearing from Nigeria, Africa, what God was already telling me and others, but we talked about it before he even showed up in America. And it was amazing how God just confirmed and affirmed what's going to be happening. And you want to be a part of this. You want to have the tenacity and the chutzpah that they have in Israel for what God is going to do in America. As a matter of fact, take a look.
Well, as you all know, I am from African continent. I don't know what is going on in the United States. I have never heard that there's going to be any revival anywhere until I came to the United States. God spoke to me. And I got the confirmation from the people living at the Gulf Coast that really there was prophecies like that before. And the revelation God showed to me is what I'm about to talk about now, and how he asked me to spend 4 hours with him every night, you know, because before this major thing will happen, there's going to be a stirring of prayer. You see, from November last year, God showed to me that as I spend 4 hours with him every night, that he is going to move on the hearts of people. And they are going to, you know, their heart will be stirred into prayer and something will break forth. Something is going to break forth because he said, and when it breaks forth, it's not going to be a denominational thing. It's not going to be one particular church affair. It's going to cut across all denominations. It's going to cut across all churches. It's going to be something that when the glory fully come, nobody struggles to manifest the glory. Genuine children of God will see themselves manifesting the glory. And as a matter of fact, the revelation God showed me was I saw a mighty spinning wind. And this mighty spinning wind was blowing on top of the bay. As the wind was blowing on top of the bay, before it got to the bridge side.
This is Mobile Bay.
Which is Mobile Bay. Before it got to the bridge side, the wind splitted into four. One went northward, one went southward, one went eastward, and one went westward and began to just spin. It's like a spinning wind. And God spoke to me. He said, this is the wind of the end time revival that is going to be birthed in this Gulf Coast, beginning from the bay in Mobile. And this wind is going to blow not just United States, across the shores of the United States to all over the world. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, the Bible says, it shall come to pass in the latter days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And also in Haggai chapter 2, God said, thus says the Lord God of hosts, yet once it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord. He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. And the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former house. Now, the glory God that is coming upon the church. And the church is not building. The church is ecclesia. Ecclesia is a called out assembly. The remnant of God's people that have been crying for the glory. they cry, there are some remnants in all denominations. This is the church we are talking about, the people that are hungry for the glory. And when you read Matthew 24, verse 14, he said, the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all nations, and then the end would come. So we are right in the beginning of the end. So this glory that is coming is going to blow upon the bride, preparing the bride for the bridegroom. The bridegroom is Jesus Christ, and the bride is the church. And this church, like I told you before, is the remnant of God's people from all over denominations that are crying and hungry for the coming of the bridegroom. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to present the church to the Father, a spotless church without spot nor wrinkle. So this glory wind that is going to blow from the Bay of Alabama in Mobile, that will spin across the north, south, east, west of United States and cross over through the north, through Canada to other part of the world, to Asia, to Africa, to Australia, and to other part of the world, is a great honor to find myself at the Gulf Coast at this critical moment of history. And I give God praise for what God is set to do. And who am I to be part of what God has programmed for this end time? It's a great privilege. And God spoke to me, give me 4 hours every night. And since November 2013, I have, without stress, I have been able to keep up by the grace of God with what God has laid in my heart to spend time in His presence, doing what? Blessing God for the coming revival is the time. And this is the time that the bridegroom will show forth to the world that he is preparing the bride, a brilliant bride, decorated with signs and wonders. So the glory of God is going to be made manifest through the church again in this end time. And I tell you what, when the glory fully comes, all the ruts and all the mess we've seen in the church today will be filtered off.
Yes,
and the power of God will blow across churches. There shall come a time in this end time glory that as people walk through the grocery stores and walk through the Walmart, people will be crying out, what shall I do to be saved? People will be crying out for, you know, how they can give their life to God and how they can get close to God and serve God. What is coming ahead is greater, is so mighty, more than what we used to know and more than what we've read about. But there's going to be a pressing in. And that pressing in is, God is saying right now, is a time for church to move again to the upper room and vacate the supper room and move to the upper room. And the upper room is a womb and is a kind of incubating room that will incubate this end time revival. It's great. And it's going to be glorious. I'm so glad.
So exciting. Is that not exciting? I mean, you know this, but he didn't know this.
Yeah.
That we've been preparing for that day.
Yeah.
We've been preparing to be able to broadcast to you, our audience, live miracles. I mean, you're not going to be able to fit what God is going to do. You're not going to be able to fit it. And buildings are great and nice, but it's just going to be too big. I mean, buildings are going to be like training places to be able to train and disciple and to launch out into the harvest field. It's not going to fit in our mindsets and our boxes. And, you know, I want to be a part of what God's doing.
Doubt.
And even to the point of, and this, listen, he's in Africa, Nigeria, Africa at this time when he's getting this encounter with God. And God is telling him what he told me, what he told many others that we know about, and that this is going to happen. It was just so exciting. When we get back from this break, we're going to be talking a little bit about our guest tomorrow, because I want to encourage you to stay tuned, because Art Thomas, he produced a movie, you know, called Paid in Full, and has this, we're all called into the Great Commission. Every one of us are called by God to go on the Great Commission to go and share our testimony, to tell people about the goodness of God and invite them in, make disciples, but also that everything that comes with that, the toolbox of heaven, miracles, signs, wonders, that's supposed to come from all of us. These signs will follow those who believe. We'll talk more about that at the break.
Keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We'd love to invite you to come on in and shop with us. We carry t-shirt brands like Simply Southern, Lauren James, our locally made soy candles, and don't forget to check out our fabulous jewelry.
We love shopping at La Di Da Boutique.
They have great prices.
Mini Simply Southern.
I love shopping at La Di Da Boutique. They have great prices, fantastic brands, and I can always find the perfect accessory for my new outfit.
Come to La Di Da Boutique. Come in and let us cater to you.
Howdy, y'all. Welcome to Pop-Ups. Come on in.
With good food, good times, and good friends come together. Try one of our 20 delicious entrees for $10 and below. And don't forget our everyday lunch special starting at $5.49.
Come on in to Po-Folks.
Bring your family where I bring my family. Come on down to Po-Folks.
Come today. Come hungry, y'all.
Come on in to Po-Folks.
Don't miss us on the corner of 9th Avenue and Creighton Road.
Man, we have so much to talk about today. I wanted to be able to talk about gratitude. That's so important. But first I want to talk about Duck Dynasty. Why? Because it seems that our viewers and listeners, anything to do with Duck Dynasty.
Oh, my goodness.
So did I ever tell you about Duck Dynasty? There was two guys in camis that walked into a donut store. They, I have a chance to flip, you know, after looking at our ratings and seeing that you love Duck Dynasty, we are going to have some camis done for John. So he right. can show up.
Yeah, and my beard.
Your what? Your beard?
Yes, my beard.
It's called Beard Duck.
Beard Duck.
Beard. That's what I said.
No, that's not what you said.
That's so funny. That's funny. Anyway, so
here in the South, it's beard.
Beard.
Yeah.
All right, beard. I'll have to remember the beard.
And so, and we got the cami. We're gonna get the camis, I guess, done up for him and all that. But
Great. Looking forward to it.
Yes. It's we were gonna. You know, we were going to do it, but it's so much lower budget for the cost of the amount of material that we have to use. You know, only a yard, right? Only a yard of material.
Just a yard.
With me, it's like 7 yards, 8 yards, something like that of material. I forgot how many yards it takes to fix stuff. You know, obviously I don't know nothing with that. So, but yeah, Duck Dynasty. So if you get a chance, we're talking about Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
So it fits in there.
Welcome back to Lancaster.
Welcome back. Did we say Duck Dynasty?
Yes, we did.
I think Duck Dynasty, that's like the highest search term or something. So I just wanted to we didn't mention yet Duck Dynasty. That's a crazy, crazy thing. I hadn't seen it in quite some
time. No.
I don't know, are they still around, ducks?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. Yes. The control room has let us know. Thank you. I guess thank we're you. Watching Duck Dynasty. So, man, I'm so excited about tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow, you know.
Set your DVRs.
Art Thomas is going to be here. They have a movie. We'll be talking about it tomorrow, but it's called Paid in Full. And a book, a 40-day action manual to activate you as a Christian,
wow,
us, into the healing ministry that God's called us to. He says, these signs will follow those that believe. It's time for, I mean, we've been walking this journey for quite some time. Yes. The biggest first thing for us was to help people understand what the church is, who the church is. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, the building wasn't the church, but when you went into the building, they called it the church because you're in it.
Right.
But it's not, if you drive past it and nobody's in it and nobody's even cutting the grass around it, and you point at it and say, that's my church, that's not your church. No. Your church is the people.
That's right.
So we went through that whole aspect of it. So we're excited now because these signs will follow those who believe that they're the church.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They won't take people to a building. It's like, heal them.
Do it.
You know?
Do it.
And I just, you know, reading and hearing and listening to his messages, and I'm just excited about, you know, having Art on, and hopefully we're going to host him. If you're interested in joining VFN TV, we want to be able to host, you know, Art Thomas,
yes,
in the Gulf Coast region, and all of us kind of gather together from all around the place and just loose healing, the anointing on all of us, or the awareness that God's called us to be able to move in the gift of healing. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. And this is really cool. I mean, you probably can see it on your screen right now, how to get this material, but we'll also make it available on VFNTV.com. But every single day, there's a devotional for 40 days,
wow,
to focus on what God says in his word about healing.
And what happens at the end of the day? Is there something you got to
do? Oh, yes, or? Yes. We don't bring that up because, you know,
okay, I'm going to scare somebody.
Many people are like,
read the testimony.
I'll hear about it. But what happens before this is up, you're actually seeing God use you to demonstrate, to represent, not represent, but represent Christ to the earth. Mm. That he's presented himself, he's, yeah, presented the Father, and he's called us to represent him to everyone else.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
He loves people. He wants to heal them. Maybe you might not want them to be healed, but God wants them healed.
That's
he
right.
will. His kindness leads us to a place of repentance. So make sure tomorrow, you know, and be in prayer about this interview, because I really want to see our audience just come alive, and just everywhere you look is the fruit of what God says. I want to pray with you right now. Father God, Lord, I thank you, yes, for everything you're doing. We thank you, Lord God, for Israel and how you blessed Israel. We pray for protection over Israel, Father God. We thank you for our audience and our sponsors who stand with us, God. We thank you for those who pray with us, God. We thank you, Lord God, for you, Jesus, mm, for what you've done, and how there's people right now that need a healing in their life. And I just pray right now in Jesus' name, I speak healing over you. I command sickness to leave. I speak to your leg to straighten up. I speak to that hump to come out of your back. I speak to your mind to be clear, and I command fear to go in Jesus' name. And it's time. It's really time. I just see the sense of time and clock over you where you're saying, now is the time. Today's the day. And the Lord says, if you'll begin to step out in everything that I've told you to do in my word, I will confirm my words following you, because I want you to tell them that I love them and I have a plan for their life. In Jesus' name, be charged as a Christian to go forth and spread the kingdom news. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.